Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about freelance babysitting and all that world has to offer. And to do that, I have brought on Tori Clodfelter. Hi.
Hello. So happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's so nice to have you. Right. I'm so excited to be doing this subject and then also to be doing a face-to-face interview. I know that my listeners may not know when I do it remotely over the phone, but I do, and I love interviewing face-to-face. So
you get so much more, I feel like.
You do. Know? Body language and
it really gives
wine.
You a lot, right? Mostly wine.
Mostly the wine. Wonderful. So before we talk about freelance babysitting,
yes,
let's hear a little bit about your background in childcare.
Love it. So I'm from just outside D.C. in Northern Virginia. So I started babysitting like neighbors' kids for like short periods of time in like seventh, eighth grade. And my neighborhood community was pretty tight. So in high school, I ended up like nannying in the summer for like my, you know, mom's friend in the neighborhood, like kind of people like that.
Right.
So that was a lot of like hanging out with kids at the pool, walking them home from swim practice, making them lunch, you know, hanging out all day. And, you know, it was still a very like casual, you know, I'm making like $9 an hour. Like,
right.
It's, you know, yeah, pretty chill scenario. And then I think my sort of nanny, I would say my nanny career, so to speak, sort of started in late high school, early college when I was like full-time driving kids around every summer. I feel like when you drive kids, that's kind of a new responsibility.
Next level.
Yeah, it's a whole nother thing. And so I was working, I think I worked like 4 summers in a row, 40 hours a week, for 2 separate families. And the ages, you know, I had like a 3-year-old and then one summer I had all the way up to 12. So I think that was kind of where my heavy lifting sort of training happened.
Right.
Took a little bit of a break late college. Moved here in 2015. Worked at a
here is Chicago.
Here is Chicago.
Reminder.
Sorry. Yes. worked at a restaurant for like 6 months and hated every moment of it.
I also started when I moved here at a restaurant.
And it just, and as you know, like artist schedule and restaurant schedule are the same schedule. So I like just moved here and felt like I couldn't get any momentum kind of in the artist community. And so then I was like, hey, let's go back to nannying. So got a nanny job here. That was like, you know, part 35 hours a week, which was great for, 2 kids. And then they no longer needed me. And so then I moved on to another family for 6 to 9 months and then they no longer needed me. And then I just kind of finished up my last, kind of long-term nanny, very part-time, only about 20 hours a week. At the end of last year, at the end of 2018, with one little toddler guy. So, I have been freelancing through all that time as well. So it's been a long tenure, I'd say.
Yeah.
But it's cool to kind of be able to walk in with any age now and kind of have a rapport and, in, you know, having done
a knowledge base.
Yeah. Like, all right, five. What's five? Got it. You know? So,
yeah, that is. And I bet working with so many different families in different areas and all that stuff gives you a lot of good tools.
Right. Totally. I think being able to be malleable is like one of the best qualities in someone who's taking care of kids.
Agreed.
Because, you know, if there's one thing I've learned is that every household operates so specifically and so differently. And, you know, walking in and being like, I'm going to make this work, you know, is like sometimes all you have going for you.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
Yeah. And I also feel like you mentioned artist, and one of the things that you do is improv. And I know that I became a better caretaker when I took improv classes.
Oh, my God. It's so
learning
helpful.
To yes and in your life is just the best.
Yeah. And learning how, like, the outcome is less important than the journey. Like, in this moment, they want a color. But if in the next moment they don't want to anymore, there's no, like, you have to finish your coloring. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's just letting go of that, I think, was a really nice thing of, like, this is what we're doing in this moment, you know? And also the idea, too, of, like, we can clean up later. Like, letting go of so much of the need to control, I think, is something that improv gave me that in babysitting is very, very helpful.
Yes.
You know, just, like, I don't know what is going to happen in the next hour, but let's get through this one first. And right now we're looking at a plant.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
I do often tell families that I nanny for, I'm like, if you come home early, just know the house might not be where it's going to be at 5 p.m. when I'm expecting you.
Exactly.
Because I don't necessarily clean up throughout the day.
Right.
Sometimes I do, or we do, but sometimes whatever activity we're moving on to is more important, and, you know, I specifically tell parents that, but sometimes I get nervous because I'm like, the house is a wreck if they walked in right now.
Exactly, and the thing is, too, it's I think any parent can agree that kids are chaos.
Yes.
Kids are... just it is
little Tasmanian devils.
Just little chaos, and I would hope that any parent would rather me be present and available, and not like in the kitchen cleaning up after lunch if they needed or wanted something.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what I would hope.
Yeah.
Right. And not so focused on like, well, the toys, the, you know, the magnetiles are still out, you know, and it's like, come on, you know.
Right.
Because I'm also happy to stay for 3 minutes and clean up the living room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
completely agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's talk about freelance babysitting. So how do you find freelance jobs?
So I work for an app called Chime.
Okay.
And Chime is by Sitter City, which is kind of a larger babysitting website, so to speak. And so I got hired in early 2017.
Mm-hmm.
They have an office in Chicago. I think they're like San Francisco, Chicago, DC.
Okay.
I think is like where their kind of hubs are. So it's kind of on paper extremely bizarre how it works, because parents go onto the app and they say, I need a sitter for these hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And three of the highest rated sitters on the app, who are the closest to the family in need, show up.
Okay.
And we each have a profile. And that profile has our experience. It has like a little bio. It has a video where we talk about ourselves. It has reviews from other Chime sittings that we've had. And then the family can just pick which one they want.
Out of the three.
Out of the three.
Interesting. And the three is also based on your availability, right?
Yes, okay. Right. So I set my calendar, and I can change it at any time. Like,
that's great.
I wanted to work tomorrow. I don't want to work tomorrow anymore. Right. So I took it off my calendar, you know. And it's bizarre on both ends, because I receive a notification from the app that just says, Tori, congratulations. You have a sitting with the Barnard family tomorrow at noon. Check the app for details. And I get on the app and I'm like, okay, you know, Katie's 4 and Jacob's 8 and they live at this address and they have a dog.
Cool.
And these are, this is everything I know about what I'm walking into the next day.
Wow.
And they do, I can message the you know, the point of contact, which is either the mother or the father, typically. Mm-hmm. And I can, you know, be like, hey, let me know if there's anything I should know beforehand.
Right.
Which I usually try to do just to be like, our dog is, you know, a monster. Like, it's just like right. things to know or like, yeah. oh, you know, one kid's going to be dropped off by another sitter. Like, that's always something to yeah. nice to know. Something like stuff like that.
And allergies.
Right. Just like, you know, if there's a disability, mm-hmm. you know, involved, all of those things. And the family only knows my profile.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they're trusting me with literally the most important thing in their life, right. you know? So it's definitely, there is sort of this blind date aspect to it.
For sure.
But, and you know, with anything, I've had the best jobs in the world where I have developed a relationship with these families that book me outside of the app now right. and we have a relationship. And then I've also walked into scenarios where I've told Chime that they should probably get child services involved.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's, there's a huge spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely, I feel like I'm kind of like a guerrilla warfare babysitter now.
Yeah.
Because like I am able to walk into a space and be like, what is, I can, you know, gather sort of context clues
mm-hmm.
to figure out what, how this family might operate.
Are you like walking in like Sherlock Holmes?
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah. I see that they crossed out all the men in their pictures.
Right, right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Or sometimes it's like, I think you can tell a lot by how messy a house is.
Yes.
I find that very telling of how a family operates. And mm-hmm. And when I say how a family operates, I'm not saying bad or good.
Yeah. No judgment.
Just fact. This family is loose
mm-hmm.
and they're really just trying to get through the day and like, they might not have as strict
right.
with things. Or if I walk into a house and it's, you know, if they have like two, you know, 2-year-old twins and it's pristine,
mm-hmm.
this family might have a little bit more rule focus, a little bit more routine focus, right. you know?
I also find how much like stuff
yes.
they have.
Yeah.
You know, and Marie Kondo certainly changed that whole scene, but like, yeah, how much if it feels like everything has a place
mm-hmm.
versus it feels like there's stuff without a home
right.
That right. came in later. And that's not necessarily like dirty, messy.
Yeah.
It's just it's an observation.
Right. I found kind of it comes down to what does this family value from a time
yes.
perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I walk in to a house that will be cluttered.
Right.
You know, we'll use that. And usually the parent is like, all right, so honestly, like, they can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. It's a very, like, keep them alive. you know, and usually those are the same families that are like, if stuff gets crazy,
mm-hmm.
just turn on the TV. You know what right. I mean? Or, like, they can play with their iPads or something right. like that. You know what I mean? And so I think versus typically the houses that are more pristine is like, well, this has to happen at 5:30 and then this has to happen at 6.
Right.
It's time is used differently,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then you have those kind of houses in the middle that are like, it's not necessarily pristine. It's not necessarily cluttered. And those are the kind of chill houses that have, I think, a little bit of both.
Right.
You know, that's like,
there will be some screen time, but don't get crazy with
right.
it.
Or like dinner can happen in this ballpark.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, if they don't want to eat, meh, you know,
right.
give it a shot. You know, it's like bedtime in this ballpark, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of, yeah, that's, I think, my like detective sort of what can I gather in 10 minutes about mm-hmm. my surroundings that kind of tell me how to navigate this, you mm-hmm. know? So
I also always pay attention to how many books are in a house.
Yes.
Because I think that that is really telling, both children's books and adult books.
Yes, 100%.
But, you know, when there's a wall of bookshelves, that's a very different value system than...
Absolutely.
You know, a wall of toys or, right. or whatever.
Movies, whatever yeah. it may be. Right. 100%.
And I usually, when I first go to meet a child, I have a little collection of my own library of children's books, and I bring a selection of those.
That is incredible.
Because stories are how I love to communicate. And so it's a way to invite them in where they don't have to do anything other than, you know, potentially sit there and read the story. But sometimes we don't even read them.
And, you know, one thing I have learned is, like, any gesture that feels like you're giving them something at the top is, like, the best thing you can do for a kid.
Yeah.
You know, because if you make a kid feel special, boom, work's over. Yeah. Work is over, you know? And that's a thing, too, I've learned a lot. That one thing I always try to do, and honestly, it does get hard because if you're, like, on transit and you're running late and all these things, is know exactly what the kids are, names are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like okay, Jacob's the older one, blah, blah, blah. And, like today I had twins, which was, that was a lost cause, you know. or, you know, and, like, okay, like, and just so you can... Because that, you know, if a stranger walks in and knows your name and you're five, that's the coolest.
Yeah.
You know, that's the coolest. And I just think that's something I really, really try to do is make them get on their level, try and shake their hand, you know, whatever greeting I can do. The other big tell about sort of what is a more chaotic versus what is a more structured household is if the kids are at the door with the parent waiting to introduce themselves.
Yes.
Versus if the kids are, like, running rampage around the house and the mom's just like, they're somewhere, you know.
I gotta go.
Well, come in. You know, that's gonna elude a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I do get a little worried when the kids aren't at least attentive to the fact that a babysitter arrives.
Right.
Because to me, and this is an assumption I make, and I have been proven wrong, but I have been proven right, that these kids maybe have so many babysitters that this is not a special thing.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the respect for my position could be in question.
Yeah,
that makes me a little weary.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Versus, I think if the kids are at the door waiting to meet you, there's this element of, like, the babysitter's coming.
Mm-hmm.
She's new. We don't know her. Versus like, oh, there's another babysitter. Whatever. Yeah, right. You know, that I think that has a different sort of level of regard for what a babysitter is, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. And I'm also curious, just in my psych brain, of like the attachment style behind that. So we have an episode about attachment theory, but you know, the kids that maybe are anxiously attached or aggressively attached. I can't remember all the names because they change.
Right.
But, you know.
Whatever the child psychology terminology is.
Not securely attached kids, if that plays into that. I mean, I'm sure it does, but.
Yeah. I mean, there are, what I hope, right, is that if a family works with Chime, that usually means two things. It could mean the worst is that they can't keep a sitter.
Right.
Which is, I've definitely run into those families.
Mm-hmm.
Two, they have it as a backup for a regular sitter canceling, for whatever it may be.
Right.
Or three, they need sitters on short notice.
Right.
As often, a lifestyle thing. Often and on short notice, excuse me. I've had all three.
Mm-hmm.
I find that kids who have babysitters often, especially new babysitters, i.e. Chime babysitters, are going to be less attached both to their parents and both to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's way more about how much fun can we have versus like the people who are providing the fun.
Right, right.
Because the adult in the room is fluid.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Those kids can be really easy sometimes because they're so used to being told, like being disciplined or told what to do by a large amount of people.
Right.
That they kind of just like, this person's big, I guess I'll listen to you. You know?
Or pretty self-sufficient. Or I would pretty, think.
Exactly.
Like the Matilda.
Yes, I've had that too, where I've had kids put themselves to bed.
Yeah.
At like not at like 8:30, I'm like, guys, it's about bedtime, and they're like, and I'm, you know, do you want me to walk upstairs and read a book? No, we got it. And it's like, I'll be here, you know. Right. But they're just so used to, you know, which also says something about the parents ingraining routine even when they're not there, right? That's I think that's like incredibly impressive. Kids who have a lot of sitters too. The one thing is they might not be attached so much, but they do. They know they've tricked a sitter before and they know they can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find kids who don't have sitters a lot are less likely to try to, you know, manipulate.
Pull one over on you.
Yeah, manipulate you.
Yeah.
So, but I have had kids become really attached to me in that one. And that might be a personality thing of the kid too. I think it also comes down to, it's almost like, it is almost like a blind date, right?
Right.
Because I have a style as a sitter. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly what that style is. And kind of regardless of the, as I try to be malleable, but still like, there are things that Tori just doesn't accept.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I will not accept like, please and thank you happens when you speak to me, always.
Right.
I don't care if the house looks like a barn.
Right.
You know what I mean? You will say please and thank you. And I think too, like the attachment issue in that short amount of time, right? Mm-hmm. Because like if I'm working at Ike again, I'm showing up at 6, these kids go to bed at 8:30.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's not how much really bonding is going on at that minute. But it kind of, if my style and their routine or their household is copacetic, that's going to behoove attraction on both sides.
Right.
I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm going to be like, wow, these kids are really great. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be like, this babysitter's so fun because their lifestyle has not rocked me and my style of nannying or babysitting has not rocked them.
Right.
You know, so there's going to be an attachment there. Mm-hmm. You know, like I babysat for 2.5 hours 2 weeks ago for a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. And 2.5 hours, all I did was cook them pizza and then they watched like Phineas and Ferb.
Excellent choice.
And the boy like gave me this huge hug at the end, you know, he was a cool kid. He also was like a theater kid. So I think that probably had something to do with it. but, you know, it's like you never know. You never know. And I mean, and some kids are just more affectionate than others. You know what I mean? Some kids are like, you gave me pizza. I love you.
Right.
You know, and that's like
and
all
sometimes
you,
that all that's all right? it takes.
That's all it takes.
So, for me, too.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I will say, there are times where I've had kids lose it when their parents leave.
Yeah.
And my response to that is you should not use sitters from time.
Right.
Right. Or you need to kind of be on a trajectory so that your kids do not. Because if you're constantly, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because I sometimes you can't win that.
Right.
You can't. You will never beat mom and dad.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
No matter how cool you are.
Yeah.
And if that happens, sometimes I kind of take a mental note. It's like, these people shouldn't be allowing strangers to watch their kids if their kids can't regroup after that. You know, right. I mean, if it's 5-10 minutes of sadness, sure. Oh, yeah. My gosh, by all means. But I've had like 45 minutes of screaming, you know, which is like, that's a developmental thing.
Right.
You know,
where, and depending on the age.
Yes.
But 45 minutes at any
you know,
age is a
and,
lot.
And if your kid's not ready to have a stranger come in, you know, then that's when you need to find a regular babysitter who your kid can, you know.
Bond, build a relationship.
Right, and have that trust. Because having chime centers roll in and out and have to deal with that, which is, you can't fight that.
Right.
You know, so I've had that sort of mental note too of like, ah, oh, these people should not be. I am not the right thing for this kid.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Sort of that outlook.
And that's such a hard place to be.
Right. Right. Because it's, you know, it's, I think everyone is aware of like the bizarreness of what this is.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're both strangers.
I mean, it's like the Uber driver.
Oh my God.
Of babysitting.
Right. Exactly.
And I already feel weird about
exactly.
Uber drivers sometimes.
I know. And I think about like, you know, if you look at like CPS, like a teacher who has to, you know, who is being, you know, going through like the intake procedure of being a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That takes 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's background checks. It's, you know, just to be in a school around kids.
Right.
And all I had to do was like make a video that's like, I like playing outside. You know what I mean? Like, that's right. It. You know? Yeah. And I had a background check, sure. But I'm sure it was like the base level. I had to prove to them I was, you know, CPR certified. But right. It's just, to me, it's interesting how much parents are trusting.
Yeah.
You know, because I am going in with the best intentions. Right. I will follow the directions of the parents. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I will make sure a kid is fed. I will do all these things. Given how the vetting process was for me
mm-hmm.
and knowing how the other sitters might have also been vetted, I'm kind of like, there's got to be some, you know, lazy sitters working yeah. for this app, you know? And the other hand on that is I was told these families were also vetted.
Right.
And I have walked into homes where I'm like, Chime has never been in this house.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's, you know, it's crazy that in 2019, this is something that we do.
Right.
As a participant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And everyone is aware.
Is on board.
Yeah.
It's so, yeah.
How does pay work? Is it a flat rate? Did the parents decide?
Right. So they can pay up to 17 at most.
Okay.
And as little as 12.
Okay.
So Chime doesn't let them pay 12 for more than one kid.
Okay.
I think the parents get suggested.
Okay.
Rates based on age group and number of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the younger the kid, mm-hmm. the more
okay.
they're going to charge. So, like, right. I had two 18-month-olds today,
mm-hmm.
and that was 15 an hour because
right.
it was, like, two of them, and they're toddlers.
Right.
So it's harder,
yeah.
you know. But if it's anywhere from two – and sometimes I'll have, like, a five-year-old who's 15. And it's just – but that's about the rate. It's going to be 12 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the range that the parents get to choose from. If they have more than one kid, they have to start at 15.
Okay.
So that's kind of how that goes. So then Chime takes a cut, a very mm-hmm. small cut. They only take 15%.
Okay.
But then we get tipped
okay.
as well. And so I've had parents not tip. It looks real bad
mm-hmm.
on their, you know, rapport with Chime if they
right.
don't. They're heavily encouraged to.
Right.
Because we're not paid for transportation
okay.
is the big thing. So I've had to go to Hyde Park. I've had to go to Bronzeville. I've had to go to Far West Side. You know what I mean? So
right.
it's I've had to go to Evanston, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't have a car.
Right.
So I think Chime, that's the tip that Chime sort of, that's how they encourage it, is like, we don't pay for transit. So please, you know, take that into consideration when you're considering tip.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, I've had 8-hour gigs where I've showed up at 6 and the kids asleep.
Right.
And I'm making 15. And, you know what I mean? Like
right.
Those are the reason I love Chime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's because you're walking in, and typically in that case, I'll send them a message and be like, hey, are you, hey, anything you want me to know? And they're like, oh, she's going to be asleep when you get here. So we'll just hook you up with the TV and the baby monitor. And it's like, word,
cool.
You know, like,
yeah.
Great, you know, and those, because you're walking in, I'm going to watch TV for 7 hours.
Right.
You know, assuming there's no crisis. You
right.
know, but,
Which is why you're making 15 an
right,
hour.
Which is why, of course.
Because you are there and ready.
And ready
to
if
handle
something
a crisis.
Does happen. Absolutely. Because then in that way, because, you know, sometimes parents too, like I reach out in that way to kind of get warned
mm-hmm.
and kind of know when I'm walking into. But sometimes the parents are just like, yeah, no, we'll see you tomorrow. And it's like, okay, so you're not going to give me anything. Cool. Got it.
You no know, information.
So,
all right.
Yeah. So I think, I feel well compensated for what we sort of the nuance of us not knowing what we're walking into.
Right.
But yeah, and also it's great too because if a family cancels day of, mm-hmm. we make $25. They just give it to us. Yeah. Wow. So it's like, it's just being like, you know, you set aside time in your schedule for this and then the parent canceled. So yeah, here's 20. Get... Yeah, here's something, you know.
That's
so
good.
I know. Because they could totally
that
not.
Doesn't they could... necessarily happen when you book babysitting on your own.
On your own. Exactly.
And
exactly.
So sometimes it does. And it's super nice. Mm-hmm. If there are parents listening, please keep that in mind. If you cancel day of, that babysitter probably turned down other gigs.
Jobs. Absolutely.
Because like this past weekend, I had 4 offers.
I know.
For
this is prime time right
it
now.
It is.
I think winter and like, you know, mm-hmm. everyone's stuck inside and parents
end of need, winter. Yeah.
People, everyone's ready to go out and
hopefully end of winter.
Oh God.
So what are some things that you have found help break that ice at the beginning of a new gig?
Well, one thing, at least with kids who are four to like, you know, 10-ish, mm-hmm. who are going to be a little bit, you know, they're with it a little bit. They're right, like, yeah. You're a babysitter. What's your deal? You know, they're, you know,
they're
I think
feeling you out.
Right. Like, you know, 2-3-year-olds are still kind of just like, play with me. You know, they just, they could care. You're a person who's right. going to play with them. I think one thing that I really have always valued as a nanny and as a babysitter is I meet kids where they are,
mm-hmm.
but I speak to them like they are an adult.
Yes.
Right? So typically, walk in, mm-hmm. I ask them what their names are if they don't say it.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, I talk about something that's either in their room, in the living room, or on them that's cool.
Yeah.
Right? Like, as almost like, what's this? Tell me about this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, your shirt? Oh, dude, your shirt's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Do you like dinosaurs?
Right. Or like, if the mom might mention, oh, they just got home from school. Okay. What'd you do at school today? Uh-huh. You know, like just the full, I think anything you can do to fully invest in mm-hmm. them as soon as you walk in.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think, like I said, anything you can do to make a kid feel special. Or that, because all kids ever want to do is make adults think that they're also adults and that they're, yeah. what they're doing is cool, mm-hmm. right? So the first thing I do is validate something about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if their shirt has a dinosaur on it.
Right.
I don't care. But if I pretend, oh, is that a Brachiosaurus? Is that a Tyrannosaurus Rex? What is that? Oh, I didn't know. Man, you're so smart at dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Wow. Just immediately validate, immediately be curious about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is, because I think the worst thing you can do is, because the, you know, the parent is probably going to take you through routine stuff.
Right.
And I definitely will take, before we do all that, I'm going to take 2 minutes with the kids and just yeah. develop rapport. Because if you're immediately ignoring them to pay attention to their mom.
Right.
That's going to be a pretty big thing to recover from yeah. when the mom's gone.
Yeah.
You know. And I think, too, if there's ever the best thing I nannied for a child psychologist,
mm-hmm.
so watching her parent was like I'm sure like a course in developmental education,
right?
But the one thing she also said is like any type of I don't want to blah blah blah,
mm-hmm.
all you gotta do is give them a choice and make it seem like it's their idea.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So then when you hit
foster autonomy,
right, exactly, so you know, we, you know, I get there, we're playing. Uh-oh, it's dinner. What's for dinner? Uh-oh, mac and cheese. Oh, no. We were doing so good, but now we have, I don't want mac and cheese, I want mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, mac and cheese is what's for dinner. So here's mm-hmm. what we can do. You can have mac and cheese and apples,
mm-hmm.
or you can have mac and cheese and bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boom. Mac and cheese already looks so much more appealing because you got to make a decision about it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's how with – because when I was a nanny, I definitely – I'm a lot more strict as a nanny than I am as a babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think when you nanny, you have to – you're developing long-term routines and
right.
ways that you're being respected. And – in all honesty, when I go to chime gigs, my relationship with you is until 10 p.m.
Right.
You know, and then for all intents and purposes, this never happened.
Right.
You know, so I'm a lot more lax because I'm not, I mean, I have, like I said, I have my please and thank you, you know, there is no hitting.
Right.
When I'm in the room. And I have those things always, but like, I'm a little less, oh, well, whatever's on the table, you have to eat. Like that was a nanny rule for me, but it's not a babysitting rule.
Right.
Because I'm not here to change
your whole life.
I'm here to feed you dinner and put you to bed.
Right.
You know? So yeah, so, but there, obviously there's going to be, you know, pushback, especially with a babysitter.
Right.
Who they've never had before.
Yeah.
So yeah, so in those moments, I think to kind of, I'm always, give them a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, and also my thing too is like, if they want the kids in at 8:30 in bed, 8:35 is not gonna,
right,
you know, ruin their lives. Mm-hmm. They're still gonna get into college, you know.
Yeah.
So I am a little lax about those things. Like, okay, guys, your mom said 8:30. It's so I let them know it's 8:30 right now, but I'm a cool babysitter and I'm gonna give you 5 more minutes. So that way, at 8:35, they already know that I've done them a favor.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So then they can't come back at me with like, no, we already did a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know?
I already
did you a solid. So yeah. Now you got to do a solid back and go get ready for that. You know?
Yep.
So, I mean, there's a lot of there's a lot more negotiating, I think, in when I babysit than I would allow when I would nanny.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Though I will say I nanny mm-hmm. negotiators.
Oh, and, lovely.
And like sometimes when I'm tired, it's a lot. And sometimes when I'm tired, I admit, like, mm-hmm. hey, bud, I really need mm-hmm. today. I need you to just eat the mac and cheese. But
do you feel like they negotiate for the sake of negotiating? Or do you think there are actual, because sometimes I feel like you just want to win. Or like you legitimately don't want mac and cheese. That's always hard for me to decipher.
When I say I nanny negotiators, I mean I intentionally try to get them to be negotiators
because I want them
to speak up and to tell me and to
have a
question
say.
And to because I think that makes good citizens.
Yes.
Yes. To not just follow along with whatever I say.
Absolutely.
And so I intentionally try to get them to question things that I say. And
we're having mac and cheeses. Are you sure that's what you want?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And things like that. And also,
wow, that's really excellent.
Like,
I really love that.
Yeah. Encouraging them to ask why. So if I'm like, you need to wear the footy pajamas. Why?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, because it's cold outside, but my room's not cold. That's an excellent point. You know what? You can choose.
Wow, yeah.
You know, and like showing them that sometimes
that conversation is a good thing.
And yeah, productive. and that they can speak up for if they're like, no, I don't want things on my feet. That makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? You're right. That doesn't matter.
Right.
I don't care.
And I think too that is so great because I think people don't see kids as citizens,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think that is something that I've definitely learned more recently.
Right.
Is like, yeah, their brains aren't fully formed. And yeah, their reactions might be not on the emotional spectrum of what a mature adult may be.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had kids teach me stuff all the time.
So
you know?
Often. Every day.
Yeah. And also, like, kids are... Everything we think and feel, they just actually think it and feel it and say it, you know?
Yeah, they don't have the same filter.
Inhibitions, yeah. So I think that is really excellent that you see them as people who have full opinions, you know?
Yeah.
But
it does, and there are certainly days. And because I so often offer choices, you know, down to, like, as soon as they... I mean, even with the babies I'm with right now, I hold up 2 different outfits and I'm like, which one you want?
Yeah, that's great.
And they'll, one time the baby spent like 5 minutes and she just wanted to play with both of them. And I was like, okay, we can do this.
Yeah.
And then eventually she like kind of chose one.
Like,
and
gravitated.
I was like, all right, unicorns it is today. But
yeah, that's great.
Actually, I think it was whales. It was whales that day. But anyway, I try to like offer so many choices, and I think that's a really great way when you're starting from scratch to kind of get kids to be okay and trust you.
Yeah, that's incredible.
But then also there are days, like this one day, my back really hurt. Mm-hmm. I had like done a workout or something, mm-hmm. and then just my back hurt. And so I told them my back was achy, and then I didn't want to sit down on the floor that day. I was mm-hmm. like, I'm going to be up on the couch, but you know, I'm here mm-hmm. for you. If you need me to break Legos apart,
yeah,
like I'm here. Yeah. I want to watch you build.
Yeah,
but I'm just going to sit up on the couch instead of being on the floor,
totally,
because my back is achy. And the kid misremembered, and so like the next week he was like, Marfa, is your back itchy today?
Oh my gosh.
Like, I was like, no. Oh, and it took me a minute because I was like, why, no, my back is not itchy.
And, oh my gosh.
And he was like, well, can you sit on the floor? And I was like, yeah, bud. Oh. And then I got it.
That is so funny.
But yeah, just like if you do say no,
yeah,
explaining why you're saying no.
Totally. I think the mom of who I nanny for, who was a child psychologist, she definitely did the thing with her 4-year-old more so,
mm-hmm.
of, I'm not going to let you openly choose.
Right.
Do you want hot dog or mm-hmm. do you want grilled cheese?
Yes.
Right. Because this particular 4-year-old, that if you were like, what do you want for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
We would have been there for an hour and a half.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Same with like her outfits. Do you want to wear the pink dress or the green dress? But there were, and I thought this was a really excellent thing of like, I don't want to go to school. Well, school's not a choice.
Right.
There's no school or not a school.
Right.
Or not go to school. There's just, going to school. But what do you want to bring to school?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? What toy do you want to bring in the car?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she explicitly would say, not a choice, mm-hmm. you know, and just letting them know, like, this is, you get choices, but sometimes you don't,
mm-hmm.
which I also think is a life thing.
Yes.
You know, like, also a life thing. So I think autonomy does, it's actually more efficient,
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously not letting them dictate their schedule, but like the things that have room,
mm-hmm.
let them have room.
Yeah.
Cause that'll probably alleviate some other fight later in the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you're gonna, you know, have to, you know, overcome.
Yeah, and just imagining, I mean, especially with a kid who has a chime babysitter, imagining how many things they get no say in.
Yeah.
They didn't get a say, probably.
In me being there.
And you being there.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would be really interested if any parents let the kids pick between the three.
I have had older kids
uh-huh.
who, like, you know, in the 7, 8, 9 realm, be like, we watched your video.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Which I think is probably smart.
Yeah.
For the parents to be like, hey, here's who's coming tonight.
I think, too, though, the parents are reading the reviews and doing the pragmatic sort of like, yeah, her video was cute, but like, can she change a diaper? Do you know what I mean? Like, those sort of things, you know? But I do think, you know, they probably, you know, I would assume they'd vet, you know, all three sitters who were, and then whoever the kids liked.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that but obviously that's not always going to be the case. You know, sometimes a parent, and sometimes, you know, there are heavy nights where like on Friday nights, like I'll get, cause sometimes Chime bumps us, like, hey, there's a family who needs a sitter in this, you know, who, they can't find anyone, so so Chime is bumping them,
mm-hmm.
And that happens a lot, like around the holidays.
Oh,
that
I bet.
Happens a lot. Summer happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's, New Year's Eve, I probably got 25 notifications from.
Did
Chime.
Did you babysit on New
Absolutely
Year's Eve?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I probably will someday, just because that money is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there are definitely heavier nights where people need sitters,
mm-hmm.
and you know, families just have to go with whoever's available,
right?
If they really want one,
right?
You know, so yeah,
that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about like making sure that you know the kids' names.
Yeah,
have you ever forgotten a kid's name?
Absolutely.
Okay, what do you do?
So what I do is I generally, the way I talk to kids is, dude, buddy, girl, babe. Like, I have a lot of those words that even if I do know the kids' names, 95% of the time I talk to them, I'm going to use one of those. That's just how I talk, my vernacular.
Yeah.
I will go to the bathroom and get on the app.
Yep.
And be like, okay, oh God, it is Ryan. I thought it was Ryan. Because the worst thing I feel like I can do is call them by the wrong name.
Yes.
You know, I'd rather be like, dude, than be like, Chris, Matt,
what?
Yeah. And then they're like, Miles. And it's like, oh crap. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Ooh, I also wonder if you could, if they're of writing age,
if you
could be like, let's
write our names.
Write our names.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes too, the name on the app is not what the parents call the kids, which is tough.
Why?
I don't know. Because, I mean, for me, it's like my full name's Victoria.
Right.
No one has ever called me Victoria in my whole life. If this apartment caught on fire right now and you yelled Victoria, I would be like, there's someone else here, you know? So I've had that too where, like, I don't know what to call the kid. So, you know, and I've had, you know, because also, you know, it's a name. It's the most subjective thing in the world, right. You know. I've also had, like, his name is Ryan, but he goes by Bugsy. And you're like, well, okay.
Okay.
Cool. Bugsy, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's.
Or if a kid, sometimes kids want to be called something different.
Yeah, absolutely.
On, like, that one day.
Right. For that half hour.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like, you know, the full name is Elizabeth, but they call her Lizzie. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those things, which are totally things I can work with. It's just, you know, it's I've had a lot of, oh, hey, Elizabeth, it's Lizzie. And you're like, okay, got it.
Oh,
got
yeah.
it. Noted. Mm-hmm. Got it. Will not happen again.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, kids take everything.
Very personal.
That's not my name, you right. know. So it's like, got it. Noted.
And especially with a stranger. Like, everything's.
Because they want you to know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I think you not knowing them has like a really ugh to them,
right?
You know, it's this lack of, you don't know me, why are you taking care of me, but it's a trust thing for them, you know, which is absolutely fair. You're a stranger and your mom just left,
right?
And we're just supposed to do the day. You know, it's like
right.
it that's so jarring. So yeah, I try to do everything I can to, you know, alleviate that, because I feel like it makes it easier for everybody.
Yeah, so. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
What has been some of, like, your most favorite things, you know, because you've been a nanny, so you've worked consistently.
Mm-hmm.
What's been some of your most favorite things about having, you know, basically new kids every day that you want to work?
Yeah. I love, there's both an anxiety about not knowing what you're walking into. The lack of, because I remember when I was a nanny, I would kind of know, like, I'm going to get there. And, you know, he's going to whine when she leaves. Mm-hmm. And then she's going to do, you know, and, like, I would, like, the anxiety came from, like, I know what's going to happen.
Right.
And it happens every day. And they don't want to go to soccer. And da, 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 da. Or, like, there was trauma from the day before that we have to, like, I left the kids, like, we didn't have a good day, and I had to go back the next day and, like, pick up those pieces. It is nice having a fresh start every gig, you know?
Yeah.
Just, like, this, and also, you know, I'll sit on the bus and be like, this could be the worst 4 hours of my life.
Right.
It could also be the best.
Mm-hmm.
I could fall in love with this family. I could fall in love with these kids.
Right.
You know? And that's very, like, and if it is the worst, then I just won't work for them again.
Right.
You know, I think that's really nice, is like, this could be the best first date or it could be the worst first date and then we won't see each other again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I really like that. I really like, kind of being in new environments when I work.
Seeing all the different, like, houses. Setups.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I've been in some expensive.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And what I really like is after the kids go to, it's a night gig and after the kids go to bed, I'll kind of, like, look at what books the parents have and, like, kind of see, like, oh, like, those are their wedding photos. Like, it's cool to be with kids mm-hmm. and then learn about the family. Right. You know what I mean? Or like, whoa, like, they went to Switzerland last year? That's so cool. This four-year-old's been to Switzerland. You know, yeah. just like learning about a new family or learning about new kids. I mean, I remember probably about a year and a half ago, I went into this one gig and it was older kids. And mm-hmm. it was like a sixth grader, a seventh grader, and an eighth grader mm. or something. Or like some iteration of right. that age group. And I remember being really anxious. I was like, I haven't worked with older kids in so long. Like, right. how do I was really nervous about like establishing authority mm-hmm. with kids that age and like, you know, so on and so forth. We had the best time. Mm-hmm. And these girls in middle school like looked to me as like a guru.
Right.
You know, because I wasn't their mom, mm-hmm. but I was like an older woman who, and, you know, and of course I was like, guys, middle school's the worst for everybody.
Right.
You're, nothing matters right yeah. now. But yeah, and like that was, I remember I left that gig being like, I would just go hang out with them.
Right.
You know, but they paid me. You know? Yeah. So I think that's just, yes, there is something terrible in not knowing what's going to happen, but there is something also very exciting and a change of routine. Mm-hmm. And unlike a nanny job, if it is terrible, you don't got to go back tomorrow.
Right.
You know, so that's also nice too. And I think also some of these parents, because you're from an app, mm-hmm. their expectations of your service
right.
are very low. Like, I have parents who come back at the end of the night and like, they're like, are they alive? And I'm like, yeah. And the dishes are done. And we mm-hmm. had baths and we picked up our toys and we sang, you know, bedtime songs. And they're like, they don't eat what?
And I taught them five yeah. words in Spanish.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they're just like, and it's just what they told me to do.
Right.
But they're just amazed that it was executed. Because mm-hmm. I think for them, it's like, you were just like something to be here, you know, right. to keep them alive and safe. Mm-hmm. So it's like, but, you know, and at that point it's like, no, we're vetted. We're professional. You know right. what I mean? Like, so yeah, so it is nice to get that like praise for doing just exactly what a babysitter should do. Mm-hmm. Like, they're fed? What? Like, yes. Like,
yes.
Yeah, that's my job. Yeah. You know, so yeah.
Yeah. What are some of the worst things?
I have definitely walked into homes that are, and we were discussing cluttered before, mm-hmm. not like that, mm-hmm. Disgusting, mm-hmm. where it was impossible to cook dinner, mm-hmm. Where I've questioned, and you know, it stinks because it's like these kids don't choose that,
right.
you know, and it's, and you know, sometimes I'll ask, I'll just be like, does your kitchen always like, is there rotting food in the pans all the time, guys? You know what I mean? And just right. ask these questions. I've walked into a home where the first floor was like beautiful, organized, pristine, but then the kids lived in the basement mm-hmm. and they slept on mattresses on the ground mm. and the TV was constantly on mm-hmm. and they ate in their beds. They, mm. you know what I mean? And it was just like, what is going on
here? Right.
And I think kind of dealing with that is hard because it's like, because typically in those scenarios, the kids are going to be a little bit, they're not going to be into cleaning up. They're not going to be, right. you know, they're going to be those more chaotic habits. Kids.
Right.
And I can't blame them for the environment that they're in.
Right.
Because that they have no say in that. Yeah, I've also, I mean, challenges too were, you can't break habits in 4 hours.
No.
You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. you know, going back to the please and thank you rule, I can say, oh, what did you want? Can you add a please? I can say that 1,000 times, mm-hmm. you know, and at the end of the night, it's like, I have given up. You right. know what I mean? Like these kids, they don't say please and thank you in this house and I probably won't be back here. But I'm sorry that their parents didn't teach them that, mm-hmm. you know? And also, yeah, not to judge the kids for the faults of parenting.
Right.
I think that becomes difficult sometimes mm-hmm. because I am frustrated at the environment we are all in. Mm-hmm. But that has nothing to do with the two little people or three little people I'm here with.
Right.
You know? But yeah, I mean, it is, you know, it is what it is. And I call Chime the next day and I say, hey, I will not babysit for these people again. And here's why.
Mm-hmm.
And Chime can handle that as they want to.
See fit, yeah.
You know, yeah, with the kids sleeping on mattresses in the ground in like crumbs and mustard, I was like, I said that explicitly. And I was like, it was a disgusting living environment. Right. You know?
But only for the kids.
Right.
Which is.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I think too, I'm very sensitive to if I feel like a kid with speech development.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes, you know, you get a 3-year-old who doesn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to me, that's a big red flag for me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were a parent, that would also be a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I don't know if they're have a speech coach. Yeah, like, right. I don't know these things.
Right.
But sometimes because that makes it hard for a babysitter.
Yeah.
That's something that if the parents aren't dealing with it, it's like, well, I don't know what his hand gestures mean.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know any baby sign language. Yeah. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, so that is a frustrating thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, again, not the kid's fault.
Right.
You know, it's either development thing or the parents are dealing with it.
Right.
Which could also be the case, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that. So that's something I'm very kind of, as soon as I see an older kid who's like not talking, I'm like, this is gonna be a long night. Yeah. You know?
Or I also, even with younger kids, sometimes when they're developing their speech and you just can't understand them. And it, like, because that has happened with several kids, but I've nannied for them and mm-hmm. then I've learned.
You learn, okay, this, yeah. Yeah.
This word mm-hmm. sounds like this out of mm-hmm. their mouth.
Right.
But that first, right. I babysat for a kid a few weeks ago. And he was like a year and a half. And mm-hmm. it was just hard to, you know, I was just like, I don't know your and particular it's like, flavor.
All I want to do is help you.
Right.
You know, and the kid gets frustrated because they're doing their best to express.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, I'll go in the kitchen and I'm like, okay, this. And then, mm-hmm. of course, you point to the thing at once and you're like, oh, I of guess course. In some other world that could be that word.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Or, I have babysat for a German child Ooh. Who was fluent in German and pretty good in English, much better in mm-hmm. English than I am in German. But, you know, she would say something in German and mm-hmm. I would be like, I got nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yikes.
And so, trying to figure that out is hard.
Yeah. And it's just, it's hard too because you know, because sometimes in that sense, I wonder, I'm like, do they have babysitters all the time?
Right.
Because in that way, I would think that the kid would know that not everybody refers to these things in, you know, in this way or whatever.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder like, oh, maybe they don't get babies, you know, and their parents obviously know what they're referring to
right.
always, whether it be a language thing or a development thing, mm-hmm. you know? So interesting.
I will say if the child speaks another language and you don't, one of the best things to do is ask them for a book in whatever language they speak, because they probably have books in both languages. And then you try to read their language because it like humbles you to them and they laugh and laugh at you, you know, trying to.
Because it gives them status.
Yeah, it does.
That's amazing. That's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. Because she thought it was the funniest thing, me trying to read German words. And it is very, very funny.
Yes.
And then sometimes I would be like, okay, so on this page, I think that this duck wants
to
go to the moon. And she'd be like, no.
That's great. That's so fun.
Yeah.
That's great.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
that's excellent.
How often do you rebook with families?
I would say I probably rebook about at like 25%.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is a lot of because I work similar hours
mm-hmm.
weekly.
Mm-hmm.
I do predominantly like afternoons or like weekend nights.
Okay.
There are families that I've worked for a year and a half ago and have never rebooked for. But yeah, 25. Right. I think 25 would be a pretty good gauge of that. It's also hard because sometimes if I really like a family, I'll be like, book me outside of the app. Just text me.
Yeah.
Because that eliminates a lot of the whole, if you eliminate a third party, it's easier.
And then that 15% goes to you.
And then I get paid in cash and it's great. Which is a little harder. Like, I have families who I now think like, oh, those are just the Levi's.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, no, I guess they were a Chime family. Right. But I just, like, worked for them for so long now. I'm like, oh, there was a point where you didn't know them through Chime. And you know.
Yeah. Do you ever have parents that that really try to rebook you or reach out? And and you're just like, nah.
Yeah, I had one. Well, the thing, though, is... if you don't want a family to rebook, you have to contact Chime. Because you don't get the family's information until you get their booking.
Okay.
And if you cancel more than once in 90 days, you're off the app for 6 months.
What?
I know. It's real. They don't mess.
They do not mess around.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's a reflection on the app if you cancel. And I think it's if you cancel within, like, 24 hours.
Okay.
Also. So it's not like if it's, you know... a week before, I think it's a little bit less of a disciplinary action. So I had one family, and this was very early on when I started working with the app. So I didn't understand that, like, getting booked by the same family multiple times happens. I was just like, there are so many families in Chicago and so many babysitters that would never happen.
Right.
and I worked for a family, and it was just not – they were just not my jam.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, very low discipline. The mom had her own kind of kookiness that I didn't really get.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't give me any information when I walked in. Like literally, I'd be like, when and what's for dinner? As she's like walking out the house, like, they have food, you know, bedtime. Like she was like, these are the kids. And I was like, you know, it was just the kids wouldn't go to sleep. It was just a lot of disciplinary, like, there was no rules in this house and I just can't do that.
Right.
And they literally got booked the next weekend. So I'm like, I just started with the app. I can't cancel.
Right.
So, you know, I trudge over to their home but I will say that I was taking no prisoners that night because I was like, I am immediately calling Chime.
Yeah.
And this is funny. I've not made my availability, like, because, you know, I go through spells where I'm in shows and stuff and I just don't have the time. But I've like had moms ask if I could babysit on certain nights outside of the app and been like, hey, if I didn't show up on the availability thing, then probably means I'm not available, you know?
Right.
But yeah, which, I mean, it's a compliment for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. You have a thing and you want to do it and you can't find a sitter. And, you know, I will reach out. I will say, like, if the sitters on the app aren't, you know, looking good to you, I have friends who I can, you know what I mean? So I do try to help them out in that way as just, like, maintaining that rapport and that relationship. But, yeah, I do have moms who will. And I'm like, how'd you get my number? Because you can't see my number on the app. I'm like, how'd you do that? Did you call app? Did you call Chime? Like, it's very bizarre.
But that is bizarre.
Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, it's nice when you do develop relationships. It's not nice when the relationship is one-sided.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. I was just curious because, you know, you've kind of compared it to blind dating a little bit. And I was like, what happens when?
when one person's more into it than the other person. Yeah. Yeah. And there have also been times where I've been way more into it than they have been.
Right.
Where I'll, like, leave and be like, hey, like, you know, it's typically, like, if it was just, like, a really easy gig, really, like, cool kids. Where I'll be like, hey, like, feel free to reach out outside of the app. And then, like, I'll reach out to them, you know, when I have a lot of availability and be like, hey, just so you know, I'm free, like, all week. And they're like, great, got it.
Uh-huh. I'm like, and you're like,
got it. Okay. Cool. All right. Noted. Take it.
I hear what you're saying.
I'm going to back off. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. It is like, you know, it is, it can work for one side and not for the other. Right. You know what I mean? Because I've had families like, gosh, I'm like, you like, kids loved you. And I'm like, well, they didn't act like they love me.
Right. So, that's so interesting. Yeah. That you would say that.
It's weird that they said that because, you know, they were terrible to me. You know? So, you know, yeah. It's interesting.
That is.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I feel like we covered.
I've got a story if you want a story.
Yeah. Before we get to that.
Great.
If you are listening and you have a question because you're like, oh, my nanny hours just got cut back and this seems like potentially a good way to stay with my nanny family, mm-hmm. but also make money.
Right, right.
Then we didn't answer a question that you have, please write in to chroniclesofnania@gmail.com and I will get in touch with Tori because I would love to have a reason. And and then I can get that question answered for you.
Love that.
And then also be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter if you want. And I don't tweet often. it's not my jam. But Instagram for sure.
Absolutely. That's great.
and please send in stories. I'm with babies right now and, you know, they smile and it makes your whole day better. But I can't tell that story at the end of episodes every time because that's just not that entertaining. Although in the moment it is. So send in stories because I would love to hear them. And if you are also a nanny that is looking for a nanny position, there is a website called Via the Village. There's also a Facebook group and there's definitely one in Chicago. And they're building new cities every day. But go visit Via the Village. It's a really good community. And they also, even if you're not looking for a nanny position, they also have like nanny meetups where you can meet other nannies to vet them for potential play dates. Because sometimes talking to a grown-up is just the best.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, check them out because they're doing really good stuff. So I highly recommend them. Great. So we end each episode with a cute, funny story, and Tori has brought one.
Yes. So I have mentioned her several times, but nannied for a child psychologist mm-hmm. who, and like she was just a joy to nanny for, and she had a 4-year-old daughter, and they were very with it as mm-hmm. far as gender goes in their house mm-hmm. as far as no toys were gendered
mm-hmm.
The 4-year-old did not princesses mm-hmm. and like Barbies mm-hmm. were not a thing
right
and another part of this incredible sort of wokeness, I will say, for lack of a better word, is when she turned 4 her mom got her this book mm-hmm. and it was about where babies come from
mm-hmm.
and obviously not the first thing that happens, but starting from like the mommy's belly starts to grow and right. all of these things, and these are all this is all the anatomy, these are all of the parts mm-hmm. You know, and then it went into like some stuff about like touching yourself and how that's like an acceptable thing to do in private, and you know, these are your parts and they belong to you, and it was just a really great book.
Yeah.
And she was obsessed
mm-hmm.
it was her favorite book for like a month.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm digging this. I'm like learning things too. I'm like, yeah. Really? That's where that is? Cool. News to me. It was right after the 2016 election.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm talking day after.
Uh-huh.
And we were all in a terrible mood.
Right.
Right. We all were sad. And, you know, as I think women too had this like different reaction mm-hmm. to that too.
Some women,
exactly. And I'm driving her to school, and we're waiting outside her school for the doors to open because, you know, there was the morning class and then she was the afternoon class.
Uh-huh.
So we're waiting in the car, and I'm just sitting in the front. I've got music playing, and she's just staring out the window, like just staring, just thinking about something.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm probably thinking about the events of the night before and being sad, and after, it must have been 5 minutes of silence. And she just looks out the window and she goes, you know, Tori? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, My vagina is beautiful and it's only mine. And Martha, I bawled.
Yeah.
I just cried. And it was the most cathartic, but it gave me, you know, it gave me, I was like, these are the women of the future. And yes. I was just like, you know, I'm like, yes, it is beautiful and it is only yours. Okay. It was just an incredible moment. And, you know, she had no idea what was going on in the grandiose of the world.
Right.
And it was just
like kids pick up on more than you think they do.
I know. And it was just, you know, it was clearly the timing of this book, and she just was contemplating that and wanted to tell me that. And it was just a funny, adorable, sweet moment of joy. Aww. You know, so yeah.
I love that.
I know, it was great. It was so great.
That is. Yeah. Oh my gosh, thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
And thank you for being here.
Oh, this was so fun. Thank you so much, Martha. This is a great podcast. I think it's doing a lot of good.
Thank you.
For the nanny community, and we need that. So.
Thank you. Yeah. I know it does me a lot of good, so mm-hmm. that's Absolutely. One of the reasons I keep doing it. Yeah. So, awesome. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.